Well, it is so good to see all of you this morning at Abundant Life. And it's so good to see all of you this morning at Abundant Life. Lynette, it's good to see you watching all the way from Washington State. God bless you. We're praying for you and your family out there and all of our friends out there. You know, God bless you just for being here. I want to make a couple of announcements this morning. The first thing I would like to say is our dear sister, Ruth Strait, was admitted to the hospital. But thank the Lord, she will be getting out tomorrow. Usually Ruth stays in the hospital a couple of weeks when she goes in. But things have changed so much, they're rushing you to get out. So they're getting her out tomorrow. Praise God for that. Also, I want to ask for prayer for Sharon Schroeder and her dad, Daniel. Daniel was put into hospice this week. He is almost 101 years old. And he's a born-again Christian. And you know what? He's ready for his transition into heaven. So remember them in your prayers. And remember Daniel in your prayers. I love that name. Also, I want you to remember a guy named Alroy Burt Powell. That is Angie and Mike Jones' brother-in-law. He is in ICU dealing with COVID. And lift him up in your prayers and this family in your prayers, specifically pneumonia, that would reside and just be gone. All right, give a shout out to some wedding congratulations. Mark and Kinsley Daniels were married. If you'd like to be a blessing to Mark and Kinsley, you can bring a gift by the church and we'll see to it that they get the gift, okay? Wonderful. Mark and Kinsley are on their honeymoon. And not here. So, Mark, I hope you're watching in Asheville. So, God bless you. I'm burning up here. It's so hot. Also, I want to give a big shout out to Carlos Flores with WPDE News back here at the back. Everybody turn around and wave. So good to see Carlos. He's a good friend to Abundant Life Church. He's been out and interviewed us here and was here at our drive-through prayer. Now, after church, he's going to be doing some interviews. So don't walk by him like he's got the plague. Stop in and say hi. And he'll make sure that if you say something wrong, he will edit it right out. So that's good. All right. I want to thank you for giving as well. Thank you for your faithfulness and just your continued faithfulness in giving to Abundant Life Church. We are able to do what God has called us to do, not only in our city, but around the world because of your faithfulness. And even during this time, we have not stopped any of our ministries in our city or around the world. And we give God glory for that. We don't receive an offering in here by passing a bag anymore, not just yet. But there is an offering basket at the back if you would like to give an offering this morning. You can put it in the basket and we will make sure that it's taken care of. Also, if you're watching and you would like to give, you can give three different ways. You can give at Abundant Life Church, P.O. Box 2244, Florence, South Carolina, 29503. Or you can give online at alcflorence.com. Go click on the donate button and you can place your offering there. Or you can bring it by the drop box outside the office, and we will be sure to get your offering there. So thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Well, Pastor Carl, good to see you this morning as well. As you're watching from home or wherever you're at, Pastor Carl's taking a little break. And so we bless him and Brenda to take a little vacation. We all need a vacation, amen? Amen. Are you ready for the word? Yes, me too. Me too. Well, today we're going to be talking about friends. And the title of this message is called Friends to the Rescue. John Boy, I'm echoing, man. Can you fix that? If you can't, just tell me no and I'll grab another mic. Because my ADD kicks in and then I'm all over with them echoes everywhere else. So, anyway, our key verse today is Proverbs 27:9, and it says this, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul, A sweet friendship refreshes the soul. You know, I don't know about you, but I could use a little soul refreshing. I need it. I need it. I got a picture of my grandson and my daughter. And look at that. Can't see anything but their eyes. I told him, I said, I don't know if you're giving me the evil eye or if you're smiling. I can't tell. But the day we live in is tough. And it will wear you down if you let it. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. But our friends can be the greatest source of love, healing, and joy, and encouragement for us. A good friend does that. A good friend loves you. A good friend will help bring healing. A good friend will help bring joy. And a good friend will encourage you. And in return, I can be, and you can be, the greatest source of love, healing, joy, and encouragement for our friends. God established in Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man to be alone. I have a friend of mine. She's kind of barricaded herself in and secluded herself. She's isolated herself. And in doing so, I believe she's become very unhealthy. Very unhealthy, because left alone, her mind has began to wander and to play upon itself and allow the enemy to come in and share some things that's just not true. So I've encouraged her, don't be like that. Reach out. You can't come and visit maybe, but you can pick up the phone and call. Call. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You know what? We're in pressing times. There's no doubt about it. And if you don't see it, open your eyes. We're in pressing times. And in these times, we need our friendships. We need our friendships. It is difficult to be pressed. How many of you like to be pressed? It's difficult. Nobody likes the pressure of being pressed. But I'm going to tell you what pressing does. Pressing produces the best we have to offer. It produces the best we have to offer. Pressing us reduces us to our core values. If you want to see what somebody's really like in these damn times, it's not very hard. They're blasting all over the place. Our true flavor comes forth when our shells are broken. But I'll tell you this, you can't get good wine until you press some good grapes. And I'm in the company of some good wine today and some good grapes. Amen? Good. Today's Bible story is one of my favorite. I remember it vividly as a child in Sunday school. And I even went back and got a picture of this story from Sunday school. I just love it. I love it. It's a story of five guys. And it's a story of hard work, high risk, and great faith. And it is one of the just most fascinating stories I've ever heard. And it's just one of my favorite that's in the Bible. And it's the story of Jesus healing a paralyzed man. All right? So I'm going to start reading in Mark 2, 1 through 12. And Jesus had recently healed a man from leprosy. And he told the guy, he says, now listen, go show yourself to the priest. You do what Moses has commanded, and don't tell anybody else. Well, let me tell you something. This guy had just been healed from a disease that was killing him. He couldn't but help tell somebody. And word got around, so Jesus had to go away so the mob wouldn't get him. And now he had come back home, and it says, starting in verse 2, a few days later, Jesus went back to Capernaum, and the news spread that he was at home. So many people came together that there was no room left, not even out in the front door. Jesus was preaching the message to them when four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man. Because of the crowd, however, they could not get the man to him. So they made a hole in the roof right above the place where Jesus was. And when they had made an opening, they let the man down lying on his mat. Seeing how much faith they had, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Some teachers of the law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "How does he dare talk like this? This is blasphemy. God is the only one who can forgive their sins." The Message translation said, they said this, "He can't do that." At once, Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he said to them, "Why do you think such things? It's easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.' I will prove to you then that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home." When they all watched, the man got up, picked up his mat, and hurried away. They were completely amazed and praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." You know, we can look at this story and we can learn a lot from these five guys about the day and time that we're living in. I've got 9 points in 90 minutes. The first point, these four men showed great physical strength, physical endurance, as they helped their paralyzed friend. Endurance is this, the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, the ability to sustain a prolonged, stressful effort or activity. I got another picture. Look at that. That's tough. That's tough. It's a picture of a man carrying his friend who has been injured or hurt. It takes a lot of endurance to do this, to withstand hardship. You know, we need endurance in our life. Endurance to run the race that God has put us in. Endurance that we're not going to fall. Endurance that we're going to make it to finish the task that God has set before us. Number two, the paralyzed man showed great trust. He was a major player in the story. He showed great trust. He trusted his friends to do for him what he could not do for himself. And he trusted his friends not to drop him. He trusted his friends not to give up on him. He had great trust for his friends. Do you know that Jesus is the greatest friend that we can have? He can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He can forgive our sins. He can touch our bodies and heal us. He can restore us to the joy of our salvation. We can trust Him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Number three, and moving along. These men were looking for their place. They were looking for their place. But when they arrived at the house, there was so much going on that they couldn't get in to find their place. They couldn't get in the house. Have you ever been to somebody's house and there'd be so many people there, they're coming out the door and you have to stand in the front yard? Because you can't get in. There were so many people there wanting to see Jesus that these men could not find their place. There is a lie in the culture that we're living in today. And it's a lie. And the lie is this. There is no room for you. It's a lie. And so many people have bitten off of that, and they believe, hey, I have no place. There is no room for me. I don't fit in. Have you ever felt that way? I don't fit in. There's not a place for me. I've tried. I've tried to get in, but I can't. Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. You know what? There is a place for you. Jesus has made that place. He paid a high price for us to have a place through his death and resurrection. We have a place, and we need to know who we are and in that place. And I tell you, we are the front and not the back. We are above and not beneath. We are the healed of the Lord. We carry peace in our heart, and we carry truth. They needed to know their place. And these men, number four, needed what was in the house. They needed what was in the house. You know what was in the house? Healing was in the house. Salvation was in the house. A friendship was in the house that they never would find anything like. But yet, they knew everything in the house they needed. There was no access to get it. There was no access because, see, they couldn't get through the door. They knew they needed what was in the house, but they couldn't get in to get it. They couldn't get through the door to get it. And there was no access to get what was in the house. Do you know that people in our neighborhood, they need what's in this house? They need it. And right now, so many don't feel comfortable. And there's no judgment of getting here. So they need it. So we give access through Facebook. You can be a part from where you are. I know of five or six people who are sitting in a swimming pool right now because you sent me pictures. You sent me pictures, said we're watching from the pool. I know someone else who's having their coffee right now and having breakfast. Someone else who's riding down the road listening to. I know one guy. I talked to him this morning. He's riding in his truck. He's at work and he's listening because they need what's in the house and they have to have access to get it. You know, God is alive and well, and God is a great creator, and he gives us unique ways to allow people to get access to him. And I love it. It's a wonderful thing. And we need each other. We need each other more now probably than we ever have. We need each other. Whether it's virtually or whether we're here, we need each other. The friends had one goal, number five. One goal. Get our friend to Jesus. That was the goal. And they did it with such great love and compassion. They didn't give up. They didn't give up. The trials of our day that we're living in are presented in division. We are divided people. The people of the United States are not very united right now. Not very. We're divided by color. We're divided by politics. My goodness, we're divided by wearing a mask. We're divided. But we have one goal as a body of Christ. One thing to do. Just one. And it's in Matthew 22. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor as yourself. If you can do that, my gosh, all the division seems to go away. All the division seems to go away. When these guys got to the place that they could not get in to see Jesus, they took getting to Jesus to a whole new level. When they couldn't get in the door and the windows, they got out a ladder. And they climbed up on top of this man's house that Jesus was speaking in, and they started tearing the roof off. And then when they hit the ceiling, they tore the ceiling out. When you hit your ceiling of trying to get to Jesus, and you say, I just don't know that I can do it, I encourage you to tear your ceiling down. Whatever that may be, rip it down. Rip it down. And get to Him. You know what? We got to be united in love. We have to be united in love. Without it, we're all destined to do one thing. That is fail. Period. Because a house divided will not stand. It will not stand. Yeah. I mean, you like Bob Marley. Yeah. I like him. Listen. Hear the children crying, one love. Hear the children crying, one heart. Let's give thanks and praise the Lord, and I will feel all right. Saying, let's get together and feel all right. I've never read these lyrics before, you know. It says, let them all pass all their dirty remarks. One love. There is one question I really love to ask. One heart. Is there a place for the hopeless sinners who has hurt all mankind just to save his own belief? One love. What about the one heart? What about the people? Let's get together and feel all right. As it was in the beginning, so it will be in the end. All right. You know, for those of you who like, that was written in 1977. It came out in 1977. And Bob Marley's kids and grandkids are re-releasing that song on July the 17th. They wanted to do something during this time to honor their dad. I love that song. One love and one heart. Hey, man, we all need to get together and be all right. Now, there's no telling what old Bob was smoking. You know, my Rastafarian friend. Hey, but that's all right. God bless him. All right. Whenever the guys lower Jesus down through the roof, they showed great faith. And their great faith brought forgiveness to their friend. When Jesus saw how much faith they said, he said this. In one translation I was reading, he said this to the paralyzed guy. He said, take courage. Take courage. Do you know, that guy probably was afraid. If I were that guy, I would be afraid. You know, number one, he couldn't walk. He couldn't help himself. He was trusting four guys to bring him from his house to where Jesus was. And then when they couldn't get him in the door, they took him on the roof. I don't know how much he weighed, but dead weight weighs a lot. So they had to get him up the ladder to get him on top of the roof. I don't know how they did that. And then they had to sit him on the roof, and I don't know what kind of pitch it was. It could have been a flat roof. I have no idea. But they had to lay that guy on the roof. And he's thinking, what are y'all doing? You're vandalizing this man's house. You'll be all right. And then he watched them take off that roof. He watched them break through that ceiling. And then they took that guy. And they lowered him somehow on a sheet with ropes. Somehow they lowered him in front of Jesus. They lowered him. And Jesus says, take courage. I don't know about you, but I'd be a mess by then. I'm sure he looked visibly shaken. That Jesus said, take courage. There's a lot of people right now that I just say, take courage. Take courage. Man, Jesus is watching. He is with us. God has not left us. He's still right here with us. And as soon as he said, take courage, you know, Jesus told him, your sins are forgiven. Nowhere in that story did it say he asked, Lord, forgive me of my sins. It says because of his friend's great faith, Jesus looked at that man and said, your sins are forgiven. You take courage. That's what he said. Which brings me to point number 7. Don't put limits on God. If you have, stop. Stop that. We're not God. So we can't limit him in what he can do and what he doesn't want to do. We can't do that. Because the people in that crowd, when he said, my son, your sins are forgiven, they went nuts, thinking to themselves, that is blasphemy. That he cannot do that. He cannot do that. Listen, God can do what God wants to do. He can. Point number 8. Jesus knows our thoughts and our frustrations. Just like he knew the thoughts of all those people sitting in that room, those religious people. He knew their thoughts. That's why he addressed them. Why are you thinking that? Why are you saying that? Be honest with God. Be honest with God today. For those of you in this room, be honest with God where you're at in your walk with him. Be honest with what you're thinking. Be honest with what you're feeling. Be honest with God. And for those of you watching, be honest with God today. Share with him your deepest thoughts and your emotions. He already knows. Many are afraid, but they will not admit it. Many people are afraid, but their actions show it. So be honest with God today because he will not turn you away. Just as this man was paralyzed, many people are paralyzed with fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of losing their jobs. Fear of getting sick. Fear of making one sick. I got a text last night from a dear friend of mine. Said, listen, we're having a quarantine. A good friend of ours just tested positive. So we're going to be quarantining for 14 days. Please be praying for us. And this friend, he told me this stuff wasn't real. But now they're having to quarantine. So I'm praying for my friend. Some people are afraid that school's not going to start back. They are afraid. What are we going to do with our kids? I don't know. I don't have to make all those decisions. But I pray for the ones that have to. Because they're very difficult decisions to make. I was in a conversation argument last night with a couple guys over it. And it was like, I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like that. And I said, well, from what I can hear, you don't like too much of nothing. You don't like anything. And for these people who's having to make these hard decisions, extremely difficult decisions that's never been made before, they don't need our don't likes and don't, and our, they need our prayer. And they need the prayer that the Lord is going to help them make good decisions because God placed them in a place of authority. So my duty is to pray for them and to lift them up in prayer, whether I agree or not. You know, one way to defeat to defeat an enemy is to just outlast him. Just outlast him. I want to encourage you. With all this we're going through, we will outlast. We will outlast. When I start feeling the pressures of the day, I start praying for my neighbors. I start praying for my friends around the world because they're dealing with stuff as well. And that pressure seems to leave me. When I start dealing with the pressures of the day, I look back to the late 80s and 90s, early 90s, when I was in med school and I was working at the hospital. And the AIDS epidemic was booming. Man, it was blowing up. And I had friends who were dying from it. And we had no idea what was going on. But I know working in the hospital, it was tough. So I pray for all the nurses and the doctors and the staff who are seeing their friends die, trying to help save somebody else's life. I pray for them. But I remember PPE, personal protective equipment, and how it changed in the late 80s and early 90s because of the AIDS epidemic. I was working in the hospital, and I would draw blood gases and run down to the emergency room with my beeper. We don't even have beepers anymore. You know, your beeper would go off. Steve, we need you to come down here and do this. So you run down there. And I remember specifically one night going in, and there was a very frail man laying in a room. And they didn't even have him in a regular room. They had him pushed over into, like, the janitor's closet because the hospital was so full that night. It was Friday night, and it was a full moon. And everybody had been fighting and cutting, and they were coming to the hospital. And they put him in a room, and the guy was definitely having a hard time breathing. And I remember walking in the room. I didn't have any gloves on. It was a different world. I didn't have a mask on. I didn't have a face shield on. All I had on was my scrubs. And I walked up to this guy, and he said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute, mister." He said, "You may want to put a mask on, and you may want to put your gloves on, because I have AIDS." And it was new and fresh, you know. But I wasn't afraid of the man. So I remember going and get my gloves and put my gloves on because I didn't want to be sick. We didn't know a lot about it, you know. And I took the guy's blood gases and ran the blood gases, and I was with that man when he died, like a month later. And I say all that because it was real. And people put it in a category, you know. But life changed in the medical field from that time forward. I mean, it changed significantly. We've changed as a church. But we're still the church. You know? And I want to do my part to make this easier for my neighbors and my friends. And I encourage you to do that as well. Because I'm waiting for this statement. We have never seen anything like this before in a good way. I mean, I can honestly say I've never seen anything like what we've seen before in my entire life. 50 years, never experienced anything like this. Man, I'll tell you this. Broken heart syndrome has gone up. Cardiomyopathy, it's gone up. Smoking has increased greatly because people are stressed. I'm telling you, smoking is gone. I went to the beach. I have laid out on the beach. I've been there, and I have experienced it. In the middle of COVID, you know what you have to do? What you do is you go out there and you start dropping stuff going to the beach, like a shoe, a shirt, a sand bucket, and then people's not going to come near that. They're going to stay away from it. And then you set your chair down on the beach and you take that little sand shovel and you get a circle and you start walking around your perimeter. And you draw yourself a perimeter all the way around you, and then you go sit down. And when people come and they start to cross your perimeter, you go, "Nope, 6 feet." 6 feet. And you think I'm kidding you. No, I'm not kidding you at all. Ask my kids. What is Daddy doing? Daddy's enjoying the sun without any worry. Go to the grocery store. See, I grew up, we got a farm, so there's certain things about personal spaces when you're working with a horse, and you're working with an animal. I don't want that horse in my personal space. So I don't have a problem driving that horse out of my personal space. If not, it's going to run me over. I have no problem going to the grocery store and somebody walks up on me, 6 feet, You need to step back. You know, just respect my space and I'll respect yours. It's the time we're living in. Hopefully it will all soon pass. But I was talking about people smoking, Pat. When I was at the beach, I kid you not, we went to eat. I had reservations at this restaurant. Me and Lori was going to go eat. And I noticed this SUV sitting up at the front near the door of the store, and literally there was smoke coming out this car. And I'm going, my gosh, is it on fire? Lori, look at that car over there. It's on fire. Well, this guy gets out. And I mean, I was there early, like 45 minutes early. And I watched that man smoke for 45 minutes straight. I mean, before one was out, let's light up another one. 45 minutes. And then I watched another person get out of the car. And they had a cigarette. And they were smoking. And then I watched another person get out of that car. And they had a cigarette and they were smoking. And I Googled, you know, cigarette smoking and COVID. I'm telling you, it has increased because people's stress levels have increased. Now, I'm not a smoker, but I am an eater. I am a great eater. And I can eat with the best of them. I mean, I quit Weight Watchers because they wouldn't let you eat. You know? So Lori gets me on another diet. She says, you can eat with this. Well, you don't want to eat because the food's no good. You know? It's no good. But we're living in a time where things are just a little bit stressful. And God doesn't want us to be stressed. He doesn't. So if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling a little bit stressed, get in touch with your friend. And you say, well, nobody's called me. Nobody's checked on me. Do you have a phone? Don't you wait on me to call you. I may not need to talk. I may not need it. I talk on the phone all day long, so usually I cut it off. But if you need it, pick it up and call somebody. And if they don't answer, man, these things are great. There's an answer machine that's built on it, and you don't have to rewind it or anything. Leave a message and say, hey, I'm having a hard time. Call me back. They'll call you back. If you don't hear from them in a couple days, check on them. Because they either didn't get your message or something's wrong. So, anyway, God bless you. But I do. I'm looking for the day that healing is more prevalent than sickness. I'm looking for that day whenever I can say, I've never seen anything like this before. And I believe it is close. I do believe it is close because Jesus is close. And people get upset with this stuff. But in the last days, it's going to get worse. So get ready. Make sure you're grounded in your faith. Make sure you know who you are. Make sure you know where your place is at in the kingdom of God. Make sure that you know. So in closing, I believe there's a call going out to all of us. Number one is to unite in love. Speak love, be love, demonstrate love. Don't be full of hate. I said this before. How do you know if you're full of hate? Then you're talking hateful. You know, you're talking hateful. Don't do that. Be nice. Be nice. Because some people are having a hard time approaching God right now. Some people are very upset with God right now. Some people are blaming God for this right now. And they need the love of Jesus to break through on them and to help them. And you say, how can I help? Pray for someone and pray with someone. Share your faith. And you say, well, that's hard to do. It's not hard to talk about the good things that Jesus has done for you. He's done so many for me, I can't even think. Look at this guy. I saw this on social media. How many of you saw this picture? It's viral. This guy here is a police officer. And he was at Chick-fil-A getting him some chicken, getting him a chicken sandwich. And he saw this guy. And the people who took this picture thought that he was going to go out there and make this man leave. Instead of making him leave, he gave him a sandwich and sat down and had lunch with him. What a kind-hearted man. God bless that police officer, wherever he's at. Assure your friends that God is with us and he's not left us. And you know, I've never been a big fan of social media. I haven't been a big fan of Facebook. But Facebook can be used for a good thing. And this is a great example from one of our very own, Rebecca Thomas. And you can stand with me, because this is probably the last thing I say this morning. But Rebecca wrote yesterday on her Facebook page. And Rebecca's over at Grace Homeschool Association in Florence. And her phone is ringing off the hook with people wanting to get their kids into homeschool. You know, we were a part of homeschooling too back when homeschooling wasn't cool. Back years ago. Now it seems to be a whole lot more, you know, palatable. But she writes this, Galatians 5, 13 through 15. It says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." And then her post said this, and I love it. "Happy Saturday. Try not to eat each other today. I love you, and Jesus loves you." So you know what? We're going to close with prayer, and I say happy Sunday. Try not to eat each other today. I love you. But more than that, Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves you no matter where you're at. He loves you. He loves you so much. Now, Father, I bless my family and my friends here this morning. I bless them, Lord, with your goodness and with your mercy and your grace. And Lord, would you reveal yourself to us in so many new ways this coming week. Help us to love each other and love our friends, Lord. And may we be the friend that, Lord, we desire, that you desire us to be. Lord, may we show ourselves friendly to our neighbors and to those who live around us, those we work for. Lord, and we lift up all those struggling right now, whether they be sick or afraid. And Lord, we speak your life into them. And Lord, may our faith together bring forgiveness for those who need it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.